Dancing in the streets, ecstatic festivals, and communal celebrations were once central to human existence. For millennia, these weren't peripheral activities, but the beating heart of community life. Today, we've largely forgotten this heritage, dismissing collective ecstasy as primitive or dangerous. Yet this amnesia comes at a steep cost. As we've systematically suppressed our capacity for communal joy, rates of depression and social isolation have skyrocketed. What if our modern malaise stems partly from losing touch with something fundamentally human, the transcendent experience of moving together in rhythm? What if the path to healing includes reclaiming these ancient practices of collective joy? Archaeological evidence shows our ancestors used dance in elaborate rituals that formed the foundation of human society. Rock art across continents depicts dancing figures as one of humanity's earliest artistic subjects, with prehistoric communities dedicating resources to ceremonial masks, costumes, and instruments. Dance served as the original biotechnology of group formation, binding humans together more effectively than language. While speech helps formalize connections, synchronized movement through rhythm created deeper bonds, triggering endorphins and oxytocin that activate the same brain regions as food and sex. These synchronized movements had evolutionary advantages beyond social cohesion. Groups moving in unison could appear as a single, larger entity to predators, a strategy still observed in some primate species. What began as survival mechanisms evolved into rituals that preserved hunting techniques while building group solidarity. This legacy continues in modern human behavior, from religious ceremonies to dance clubs, suggesting an unbroken chain of communal movement stretching back to our earliest ancestors. Dionysus-like deities formed a religious network spanning from Portugal through North Africa to India. As Bacchus in Greece, Osiris in Egypt, and Shiva in India, these gods shared striking similarities, long-haired divine strangers who defied norms and inspired ecstatic worship. Their parallel emergence across cultures reveals a fundamental human need for ecstatic religious experience. Female Dionysian worship centered on the Oribasia, winter mountain dances where women performed the sparagmos, hunting and dismembering animals before consuming raw flesh. Greek vase paintings show maenads fighting off lustful satyrs and hunting with male implements, subverting traditional gender roles. Dionysus stood apart from other gods. Androgynously beautiful, he remained detached from sexual concerns unlike his divine counterparts. While other gods demanded sacrifice as obeisance, Dionysus embodied the ecstatic experience itself. His worshippers engaged in rituals for the transformative power of communion. With his long hair, hints of divine violence, and promise of transcendent ecstasy, Dionysus was essentially the ancient world's first rock star, inspiring passionate devotion, particularly among women and the marginalized. Historical records show persistent tensions surrounding ecstatic rituals. Euripides the Bacchae illustrates this through King Pentheus's suppression of Dionysian worship, which he viewed as threatening social order. The play ends tragically when Pentheus's mother, in Dionysian frenzy, tears him apart, symbolizing how these rituals could rupture fundamental social bonds. This ambivalence reveals much about writing's development alongside civilization and social stratification. From elite perspectives, traditional festivities posed problems through their leveling effect that dissolved rank differences. Maintaining dignity while dancing is nearly impossible, and masks render all participants anonymous equals. Archaeological evidence from Oaxaca demonstrates civilization's gradual restriction of communal rituals. Hunter-gatherers 9,000 years ago gathered on dance grounds for community-wide celebrations lasting days. As agriculture emerged 6,000 years ago, rituals became increasingly limited to elites. When organized states appeared 2,000 years later, ceremonies were performed exclusively by priests and temples built through forced labor. Rome's suppression of Dionysian worship in 186 BCE exemplifies this conflict. Authorities detained approximately 7,000 people, executing most. This represented a clash between Dionysian egalitarianism and hierarchical militarism, between accessible deities who could possess any devotee and remote gods who spoke only through authorized priests. Early Christianity shared striking similarities with Dionysian worship. In Roman Israel, Jews often worshiped Dionysus, sometimes identifying him with Yahweh. Archaeological evidence reveals syncretic practices, incorporating elements of Zeus and Dionysus, ecstatic rituals, wine ceremonies, and communal festivities that influenced Christian practices. After Jesus' death, followers shaped his divine image to mirror Dionysus, a deity offering immortality, divine communion, and universal acceptance. Archaeological findings strengthen these connections, including ancient depictions of Dionysus on cross-like structures and Dionysian priests in Christian catacombs. Early Christian worship featured intense spiritual experiences, particularly glossolalia. First and second century gatherings were dynamic, multi-sensory events resembling Greek mystery cults with ecstatic singing, chanting, prophecy, ritual wine consumption, and physical expressions, including dancing. Christianity's advantage came from creating enduring community structures. While pagan mystery cults typically dissolved after ceremonies, Christian communities maintained ongoing support networks that particularly benefited marginalized groups. The transition from persecuted cult to state religion transformed the movement. As institutions solidified, Christianity lost much of its early communal spirit and ecstatic practices. Charismatic leadership yielded to formal hierarchy, and spontaneous expressions became increasingly regulated. The 4th century saw aggressive suppression of religious dancing, especially among women, marking a shift from ecstatic mystery cult to institutionalized religion focused on order and control. After church authorities purged dancing from sacred spaces in the 12th and 13th centuries, carnival emerged in streets and public squares as an unintended consequence. Carnival merged sacred and profane elements. While the church maintained solemn traditions, lay people created parallel celebrations that defied religious propriety through feasting, drinking, wild dancing, and activities that dissolved social boundaries. A king of fools would mock authorities. People dressed as clergy performed obscene parodies of religious ceremonies, and cross-dressing became commonplace. This ritualized mockery appeared across cultures. Israelites ridiculed rabbis during Purim, Romans celebrated Saturnalia, where slaves temporarily commanded masters, and similar traditions existed throughout Africa, Asia, and the Americas. Secularizing communal pleasure had consequences. Without religious ceremony structure, celebrations sometimes devolved into excess and violence. Yet it democratized festivity, giving common people ownership of celebrations. Communities invested tremendous resources, with guilds working year-round on preparations. Most importantly, secularization revealed festivity as a human creation emerging from below rather than a divine gift bestowed from above. Despite centuries of suppression, our capacity for collective joy persists wherever people gather to celebrate. In the late 1950s, a cultural rebellion erupted in puritanical American and English societies as young people danced to new music. Rock's participatory nature stems from African-derived religious music traditions that enabled collective survival. Black rock performers acknowledged their debt to church music. Early rock audiences, dancing spontaneously, announced the rebirth of a long-repressed ecstatic tradition. Today, many find collective ecstasy at sports events. Since the 1960s, spectators began carnivalizing sports with costumes, music, and rhythmic activities. Face painting replaced masks, while the wave represents widespread participation throughout stadiums. Our hunger for communal ecstasy remains strong. From music festivals to flash mobs, from protests to religious revivals, we continue seeking transcendent moments of connection. In recognizing this ancient heritage, we might reclaim the pleasure of moving together in rhythm and the joy of belonging to something larger than ourselves, essential reminders of our shared humanity.